We who are Catholic and the only Christian Church confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God, and to make God known through studying and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people.
Please stand for our call to worship, which is from the book of John, chapter 19, 1 through 5. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they struck him with their hands.
Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man."
Thank you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship you. And what a special day this commemorates for us as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And truly, this is something that we celebrate every Sunday we meet and every day of our lives as we have a relationship with Christ. There's just such special significance today. We come to you in thanksgiving. We come to you in praise. And Lord, we lift up all those that were mentioned a few moments ago, the prayer needs that have been requested, and then also those who are on our hearts today that haven't been mentioned. We ask special prayers for the folks in Ukraine and for their deliverance, and for many others who are suffering around this world. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to suffer so that we could be saved. And so we're here to give you honor, to give you worship. Thank you. You invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of communion today is number 204, Alas, and Did My Savior Leave.
Yeah.
remember me. And so we come to the table to remember Jesus, who gave up his life so that we may have eternal life with God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for this time to remember all that Jesus did for us. We thank you for the symbols of the bread and the cup to remind us. May we give all that we are in service to you. In the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen.
Churches partake of the Lord's Supper once a quarter. Some partake of the Lord's Supper once a quarter. we partake of the Lord's Supper every week to remember his sacrifice. The one thing I'm certain of, more churches today are partaking of the Lord's Supper to remember Christ in this special way because of this special day it is, as we remember that he gave his body on the cross, that his body was broken, his blood was shed. And he invites us to this table, and he says to partake and do this in remembrance as often as we do it. So with that, let's remember the body that was broken for us and partake together. In like manner, let us partake of the cup that reminds us of the blood that was shed. And together we pray.
Thank you, Father.
For the bread of life and the blood of salvation.
At this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we pray for our offerings. Father, we come to you thanking you for all your blessings, spiritual blessings, family blessings, material blessings. And as we have the opportunity to give back to you, we pray that you would bless the gift for your purposes, for your glory, and the giver as well. In Christ's name.
Thank you.
thought. One of the most important conversations you could ever have. It's the first time you talk to God. Think about it. What would you say? I remember you from the pages of a book, late early ones in Sunday school. I remember you. I studied every word and I hid it in my heart just like you told me to. And it's all I've thrown away. And everybody prays. It's the day I remember you. And as you're standing there on those trembling knees, what would you hope God would say back to you? I remember you. I was there when you were born. I held your mama's hand and your daddy's too. I remember you. I recall the very day you turned against the devil and you cried out my name and the stone was full. Everybody pray. It's the day the angels sing. I remember you. I remember you. Oh, I remember you.
I remember you.
I remember you. I remember you. I remember you. I remember you. I remember you.
Thank you.
turn in your Bible to the scripture. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine, put it on his hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How many aches and pains are there this morning? Extra aches and pains from yesterday, I might add. You know, one thing about being a church full of seniors, we, when we come and have work days, we expect to get up the next day with some. But, you know, I got thinking about it. You know, we really are pretty much whiners anyway. You know, with, I got this, we can go on and on. We're in a passage of Scripture where we see Jesus suffering in so many ways that it just kind of makes us humble when you stop and think of all that he went through. And we're going to look in this chapter, John 19, at some of the other verses that pertain to the crucifixion as well. There are three things that I want to point out that we see about Pilate. Some of this, you know, we can pick up on from last week where Pilate could not make the decision. It was like, I find no fault in him. But the Jews still wanted him to condemn Jesus. He kept trying to push back. And there was this kangaroo court where Jesus went before the high priest. He went before the former high priest. Then he went before Pilate. Pilate, according to Luke's gospel, sent him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. And Pilate did not want to make a decision to crucify Jesus. So in his indecision, he did something that we pick up on in verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, that is just a sentence that we may not really understand all that's being said right there. He took Jesus and scourged him. Well, what's that? Well, I'm going to tell you. So the scourge was what Roman soldiers would do. They would both have whips with many strands and with sharp objects on the end. One person would be on this side of the person being whipped, and one would be on this side. And the person being whipped would be tied tautly, and then one stroke, and then another stroke. And they would do this 39 times. Because Roman law was that if the one administering the punishment went over 40, they would meet the same punishment. So they said, okay, we're going to take one away. So we can count to 39. Then if we miscount it by one, you know. People who were scourged very often didn't survive the scourging. Literally, people's flesh was torn from their bodies. Open wounds And you can just imagine 39 times of this, how brutally battered Jesus was. You talk about aches and pains. You talk about the sheer torment that he went through. All of this in that statement, so that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put on his head. That was the symbol of shame. And then they put on him a purple robe. Now, think about that purple robe. His body is already tattered and bleeding. And then they put a garment on him. What's going to happen? You know, when that blood coagulates with that material, then when they pull that robe off, you know, it's going to open all those wounds. It's going to be painful again. Then they said, "Hail the King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. They struck him who was bound with their hands. All this Jesus went through. Pilate then went out again and said, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Well, he finds no fault in him, but he just delivered him to be scourged. Pilate's purpose in this was to show the Jews, "Hey, I did something." Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus. Maybe it was because of something that his wife said had nothing to do with the blood of this just man. But he did not want to crucify Jesus. He kept repeating the words, "I don't know anything he's done wrong. I find no fault in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Behold the man." Behold the man. It's like Pilate was saying, "Really? Is there anything else that's needed? I mean, look at him. Why would anything else be needed?" But therefore, when the chief priests and officers, now get this, this is religious people. These are people who say that they believe in God. They cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate did not want to make this decision, so he says, "You take him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him." So the Jews came back at Pilate and said, "We have a law." You see, that was their thing. They had laws. They weren't Old Testament laws. They were just laws. "We have a law. According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Now, all of this, we see Pilate's indecision, but we're coming to this thing where we see Pilate's fears. So, Pilate is kind of afraid of what the Jews could do to his political position, because he's had the run-in with them before, and I told you about one of those experiences last week. And there have been other times, and so he's afraid of that. But then something else. "Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, that Jesus made himself the Son of God, Pilate was more afraid." Why was he more afraid? There was something about Jesus that, and maybe what his wife said, And maybe some other things that just caused him to think, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And he was even more afraid. So he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" I think, really? That's Pilate's question? Are you not speaking to me? You just beat this guy literally to an inch of his life, and you drag him in there before you, and he really feels like talking? But he says, "Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you? I have the power to release you," which he obviously wasn't going to do because he was afraid of his political position. Jesus did answer, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Now, that verse just kind of baffles me a little bit because greater sin. I mean, the end result of sin is the end result of sin. You know, separation from God. But he says he has the greater sin, the one who delivered. In other words, I think Jesus might be just kind of letting Pilate know that, you know, hey, I'm the Son of God. You too can accept me as the Son of God. Not that it was going to happen right then. This is something that's going to be fulfilled. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. He didn't want anything to do with this. He kept seeking ways to release him. Then the Jews' leaders, they played the Caesar card. They said, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Now, the Jewish leaders, they didn't care anything about Caesar. They didn't like Caesar. They didn't even like Pilate. They didn't like the Roman government. They were just using it, not knowing that in a few decades it would be because of Caesar that 1.5 million Jews would be killed at the fall of the Roman Empire. But they wanted to use this. So they said, "Crucify him." So Pilate brought Jesus, sat down in the judgment seat in a place called Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the 6th hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Now he's taunting them. So I don't know what kind of gave him a moment of, "I'm going to stand up to you people." He's taunting them. He says, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Crucify him." And he says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they said, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross, that cross beam, after he had been beaten, after he had had all those things, he's so weak. I mean, you talk about the strongest man who ever lived. He's carrying this beam. Went to a place called the place of the skull, which is There is something very special about the place that this happened. If you go back 1,000 years to Abraham and Isaac, when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the son you love, take him up Mount Moriah and sacrifice him to me. Abraham loved his son. By the way, that's the first time the word love is used in the Bible, is in Genesis 22, when God tells him to do that. And so Abraham, obedient to God, takes Isaac. Isaac is carrying wood, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen. He even asks, where's the sacrificial lamb? You know, what are we going to be sacrificing? Abraham said, God will provide. Historians tell us this is the same mountain as Mount Calvary. Lambs were usually sacrificed at the bottom. Jesus on Golgotha Hill at the top of the same mountain. It's just so fascinating to me that all the intricate pieces that God brings together to when he would sacrifice his son who was carrying the wood up the hill. Now, we find in one of the other accounts that he fell underneath that and then someone else carried it for him. But they crucified Jesus and two others, one on either side. Jesus was in the center. So we had Pilate's indecision, Pilate's fears, and then finally Pilate made the decision. But you know what? Pilate kept trying to push it back and say, it's not my decision. And we even read in one of the accounts where he says, I have nothing to do with the blood of this just man. As he washes his hands up, he says, this is on you, not me. But still, it was his decision. But you know, we are here today not looking at it from the perspective of just when Jesus died. We are here today looking at it from the perspective of these songs that we've sung, that he lives. And we rejoice that he lives. We know that he rose again on that third day, and that is what this day commemorates for us. That is what we remember, is that he arose. Now, some other things that we see in here, if you just look down to verse 24, you know, they said, therefore among themselves, let's not tear the tunic. But they cast lots for it, whose it shall be. You know, this was prophesied in Psalm chapter 22. Those words where it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. Now, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is before crucifixion had even become a thing. I can count my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. All the details. One of the most spectacular phrases is when Jesus said, it is finished. And then he died. But we rejoice. What was finished was the sacrifice for sin. It's done. It's been accomplished. It wasn't his hour before. Now it was his hour. it is finished. And it's because of that sacrifice that we can celebrate this morning. If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave, we have no reason to be here. There's no purpose if it's not for the fact that Jesus died and rose and He lives today. If we ever take that out of what this church is about, just close the doors. It's what it's about. Jesus is what it's about. And we celebrate today. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you can celebrate what I've been telling about. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you still can celebrate because you can surrender your life to Him. We invite you to do that. Pilate, indecision. Fears, wrong decision. Basically, we could say. What about you this morning? Indecision, maybe afraid. Can you make the right decision to surrender to Jesus Christ? We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, "Because He Lives." It is because He lives. That's why we are here. Stand with me. Thank you all for being with us. again, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that this is not just a day for us as believers. This is our life. Knowing that Christ died, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and He lives. May we know that He lives within us. And may we live our lives in a way to honor you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.
Two questions. All right. One person only.